the deepest, darkest grooves, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
This is Jen Braverman from Trans World, and you've been listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Lori.
And this is Steve-O from the Garage of Evil Network, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show at BigScaryShow.com.
Well, you could say GarageofEvilNetwork.com, too.
This is Rich Bianco from Trans World, and you've been listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hello, creeps. It's me,
John Kassir, the voice of
the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to The Big Scary Show, the top podcast in the industry.
This is Manny Souza from the American Scream on The Big Scary Show.
Hi, I'm Michael Graves from all sorts of bands that you probably don't know, but one that you might know, including The Misfits. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi there, this is Chris Thomas from Music for Haunts. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
Finally able to take a break after working on the new CD for so long, and actually get caught up finally with the new episodes of The Big Scary Show. In fact, in this episode, the hosts, minus myself, will be sitting down with Jen Braverman and Rich Bianco to talk about Transworld 2016. Special correspondent Eric Weister will be doing a segment called The Mummy Legacy. The Unknown Scare Actor will be following up with Legends and Lore, talking about Halloween legends, fact and fiction. Storm's back with A Haunt Minute, talking about the newest discovery of the ninth planet and its correlation to the haunted attraction industry and Halloween. I'll be dropping in some really good songs to get everybody ramped up for the haunt convention season. Badger will be doing the news, and a whole lot more on this episode of The Big Scary Show. Man, I really need to teach myself how to play piano. This sounds like crap. Wait, this could be good for a song on the new CD.
Want to take your haunt to a new dimension of terror? Then let Dark Imaginings conjure up some ghoulish graphics and web design services for your home, haunt, or crypt. Since 2007, professional and home haunters alike have trusted our award-winning and dedicated skeleton crew to make their nightmares come true. Whether you need graphic design services, logos, websites, spooky visuals, or creepy changing portraits, we can help your business look its scary best. To see more of our products and services, drop by darkimaginings.com. Let us help you get ahead of your competition.
Michael Graves and Gotham Road, Seasons of the Witch, on The Big Scary Show.
want online ticketing but get scared by service fees? HauntPay is scary simple ticketing and payments for your haunted attraction. With features made for haunts, including timed ticketing and repeat time slots, variable ticket types, bundled and combo tickets, social media discounts, and more, HauntPay is designed with haunted attractions in mind. Check them out at hauntpay.com and start now for free.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
We start out with some sad news from Hollywood. David Margulies, a veteran character actor of 13 Broadway shows and a number of films, including Ghostbusters, has died at the age of 78, according to social media reports. A graduate of City College of New York, Margulies was a regular on New York's many stages from the late 50s through the mid-2010s. He made his Broadway debut as Hugo Calmar in Theater Man's 1973 Circle in the Square revival of Eugene O'Neill's The Iceman Cometh, which was followed by roles in Comedians, Brighton Beach Memoirs, Conversations with My Father, Angels in America, A Thousand Clowns, and many more. On screen, Margulies turned in memorable performances in films like Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2 as the mayor of New York. The Big Scary Show sends its condolences to the family and friends of David Margulies and offers up this moment of silence. We have this news from Quentin Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino has revealed that he would, quote, love to make a really, really scary horror film, unquote. The director is already famous for the high levels of bloody violence in his movies, but wants to take his passion for the brutal one step further. The only problem is time, as he plans to retire after making just two more films in about a decade's time. Quote, I don't want to be the guy that's doing this forever. There should be an end, unquote, he told Time Out in December before discussing the film genres that appeal to him most. There is not a genre left where I have the same burning desire that I had to do a World War II movie, Inglourious Basterds, or a martial arts movie like Kill Bill. I think the one genre left might be a 1930s gangster movie, that kind of John Dillinger thing. I'm also interested in doing something contemporary where I can have a character who gets in a car, turns on the radio, so I can have a cool driving montage. If I had all the time in the world, I would love to make a really, really scary horror film like The Exorcist. We'll continue to follow this and bring you updates if we get any. We have some haunt news from Shocktober in Leesburg, Virginia. Happy New Year from Shocktober! Our New Year's resolution is to bring you more scares, and we're looking forward to starting the year in Fear Brewery for our 3-day My Bloody Valentine event. My Bloody Valentine, welcome to the dollhouse. Shocktober will be open for 3 blackout nights in Fear Brewery, the 12th, 13th, and 14th. Tickets are on sale now at www.shocktober.org. We have this update from The Walking Dead via our friends from Designing the Fear. Season 6 of The Walking Dead started out pretty intense, as most of you have seen. The season only got even more intense as it went on. From the team dealing with invaders in Alexandria to part of the group leading a gigantic herd of walkers, and even being made to think Glenn was ripped apart from limb to limb. Season 6 definitely had a lot of moments so far, and as many of you know, Season 6 is in no way over. The Walking Dead will be making its mid-season premiere on February 14th. The rest of the season will see some new character introductions. It's now been confirmed that Xander Berkeley has signed on to the cast of the show. You may have seen Xander in shows like 24 and Being Human, as well as movies like Candyman and Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Gregory's introduction to the show can possibly show that things will only get rougher, as we will also be seeing the introduction of Negan, who is the leader of a group of survivors called the Saviors. Season 6 truly looks like it may end on an intense note, just as it started with the addition of some bad guys, as well as the introduction of Paul Jesus Monroe. It will be interesting to see everything unfold the rest of Season 6, which begins on Valentine's Day. We have some news from the Dark Knights Terror Trail in Elgin, South Carolina. Dark Knights Terror Trail presents My Zombie Valentine Weekend. Once you step through the gate, you will immediately be immersed in what could be compared to The Walking Dead. You and your true love will be finding supplies to survive the zombie attacks, which can happen anywhere at any time. This is a 2-hour zombie survival experience, which is frightening. At times, you may be in total darkness, hear loud sounds, see flashing lights, and come into contact with scare actors. This experience will require you to follow a map and find items that you need in order to survive the experience. Ticket prices are $50 a couple. Space is limited, as each scenario is set up for a maximum of 15 couples, 30 people total. Adventures start at 6 p.m. each night and last 2 hours. Please arrive 15 to 30 minutes prior to your reservation time for processing and orientation. CJ's Chop House of Elgin will be catering a meal for the survivors on Saturday the 13th and Sunday the 14th. Prices and menu, along with ticket options for the added meal, are going to be posted on their Facebook page very soon. Please check back or call them for more information. Contact information can be found at facebook.com/thedarknights, that's Knights with a K, Terror Trail. We have this news from the Woods of Terror haunted attraction in Greensboro, North Carolina. From the Woods of Terror comes a special Valentine's weekend event, Valentine of Terror. They'll open February 12th, 13th, and 14th. Valentine of Terror will operate as Woods of Terror's Terror in the Dark does. Tickets are $24 at the door and $28 for a fast pass. You can also purchase tickets online for $20 for regular admission and a fast pass for $24, plus a tax and service fee. There will be a discount that can be printed offline and will be good for $4 off admission at the ticket booth on site only. This $4 coupon will not be available after February 1st, and parking is $5 cash. We will be fully operational except for our cornfield because they cannot grow corn in the winter, obviously. Also, our pirate ship is under heavy renovations for our 2016 season. We'll still be at full operation and may have a few surprises for you as well. Need more information? Visit their website at www.valentineofterror.com. We have some convention news from the Mad Monster Party in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's right around the corner, and the Mad Monster Party is looking for volunteers. So what do you get besides fun work? Free admission to the show, obviously, membership in the private Mad Monster Volunteer Facebook page, meet and greet and get to know their celebrity guests, a coveted stiff t-shirt that only volunteers can wear. William Shatner asked for one and was told he'd have to work a shift. Group photo ops, subject to celebrity agreement. Behind-the-scenes participation in one of the most exciting shows in the genre, and limited discount admission for family and friends. Become part of the wacky Mad Monster family, if you dare, plus much, much more. Our volunteers have a near 100% return rate, so for more information, contact volunteer@madmonster.com, and for more info on the show, visit madmonster.com. And finally, we have an update to the Phobias Rogue Tour happening during Transworld in Wright City, Missouri. New to the Phobias Rogue Tour in 2016 is the Froggy's Fog Party and Open House. Get the best of both worlds by celebrating St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, at Phobias with dinner, drinks, dancing, and the opportunity to experience an interactive behind-the-scenes tour of both the haunted house and our newly designed and engineered Phobias Escape Chambers. Attendance prizes worth thousands of dollars will be given away from iconic vendors such as Haunt Shirts, Brainchow Studios, Haunting FX, Slaughterhouse Studios, Distortions Unlimited, Gore Galore, Rip City, FX European Body Art, Stilt Beast Studios, and many more. Don't miss this great opportunity to network while visiting the number 6 top haunt in the nation, as determined by CoasterNation.com. Tickets, including transportation to and from America's Center, are extremely limited. Don't miss out. Buy your tickets now at RogueTour.com. And in the essence of full disclosure, the Phobias Rogue Tour is not associated with Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show.
Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Are you feeling just a little bit crazy? Are you looking for the right costume to match that craziness? Then you need to go to Von Caron Productions and check out The Insane Ensemble. If you've got a mad scientist is ready to start working on a monster, you've got to check out The Psychosurgical Coat. If you're ready just to start butchering people up, they've got a dissection smock. Or if you think you're just a little bit too crazy and need to be restrained, how about a commitment coat? Von Caron Productions and The Insane Ensemble. Committed to haunters who expect quality. And remember, Halloween is but once all year. Von Caron Productions. Check them out at www.voncaron.com. That's VONCHARON, Von Caron Productions.
Ladies and gentlemen, of course, that music does signify that it is time for the Roundtable of Terror. And of course, folks, we've started already talking about conventions. The last show with a roundtable, we had Leonard talking about HauntCon. Of course, the big one's coming up in, my goodness, is it only about 10 weeks away? Or less, even. We're talking Transworld St. Louis coming to its usual place over the past few years, bigger and better than ever. And, of course, whenever we need to talk about Transworld, we get the big head honcho right on the phone. Jen Braverman is with us in Chicago. Jen, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Also, Rich Bianco, also your right-hand man, so to speak, up there in Chicago. Rich, are you with us?
I'm here.
Great to have you, as well as our usual hosts, including Storm.
Greetings from Rhode Island.
The Unknown Scare Actor.
Greetings from snowy Cincinnati.
Unfortunately, the Haunt Rocker is not with us tonight. He had to go to a memorial service, so our condolences are with family and friends. And we'll just leave it at that for right now. My name is Drew Badger in Charlotte. Not snowy, just a lot of frickin' cold rain, which is pretty par for the course in January. But maybe cold here, but the action in St. Louis is no doubt about to heat up regarding Transworld. Jen, in a nutshell, let's talk about the five W's for Transworld 2016. Who, what, where, when, and why should you go?
The show is March 17th to the 20th. It's at the America Center where it's been the last few years, like you were saying. Definitely a reason to go this year is because you're going to see over 65 new companies that you have not seen ever before at any of these shows. So I definitely think this is going to be our biggest show yet. I know I always say that, but we actually have the largest expanded show floor that we've had yet since being in St. Louis, as well as the most amount of attendees. The hotel rooms are starting to sell out. So if you have not gotten your hotels yet, I highly recommend you do that.
Jen, I was told that there were at least two hotels sold out last May when I was trying to get hotels. So, you know, I don't know where you're getting your information, but I think people better get on the phones as soon as they hear this.
Yes, absolutely. No, I mean, I cannot stress enough that if you've not gotten your hotel rooms, you need to do it now.
And as usual, for people who this may be their first time going to Transworld, and every year we always have new things going on, you mentioned we have 65 brand spanking new vendors coming to Transworld. Any names you can mention that people can look for, or if you don't have a list on that?
Oh, we have a list. I mean, there's a lot. It's let's see what we got here.
A to Z hand trucks, the Basement FX. I could just start going down the whole list.
We don't need all 65, but
I'm not going to name all 65 right now. But if someone were to be able to, on our website, we have the exhibitor list, so people can get a chance to kind of comb through it, look at it, and see that there are a ton of new companies that they have not seen in the past. So that's a reason that not only should you go if you've never been, but if you've been in the past and were on the fence whether or not you should go, you definitely need to go because you're going to see people you have not seen before.
Jen, are you seeing a trend of what type of new companies are coming to Transworld? Is it props? Is it, you know, people help you plan out? Or is it more behind-the-scenes type of things?
I would say, Rich, I don't know what you would think, but I think it's a mix of everything.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a mixture of everything. There's a lot of, you know, obviously because it seems like, you know, Haunt's always growing and there's a lot of people getting into it. So, you know, it's a mixture of a lot of things that have already existed, but a lot of new companies, but a lot of new creative things. And there's a lot of escape room stuff as well to go with it, you know. But it's the majority of it's just new companies, you know, with different ideas and things, you know. There's it's hard for us to know exactly what they're bringing until they actually exhibit for the first time. So, you know, it's every year it's just something new. We always have somebody that's bringing in a product that nobody's ever seen before or bought before.
Well, Jen, I know that when we were at Legendary in Chicago a couple of months back, we were talking about, you and Rich, you just mentioned escape rooms. You've got something really, really big coming to the floor this year regarding escape rooms. What is that all about?
Well, we created an area on the floor that's basically dedicated to escape rooms. You know, over the last 3 years, we've noticed a growth into Haunt with escape rooms. A lot of haunted houses and businesses are starting to add escape rooms as, you know, viable businesses that they can run all year round. And the two industries seem to work very well together. I mean, the scenic design, you know, comes a lot from the haunt industry, and then the puzzle design and tech, you know, comes out of the escape room industry, you know, so it has a lot of gaming background and things like that. So basically what we did is we saw all this, and there really wasn't anything going on to kind of help educate everybody that's, you know, in this industry. So what we did was we decided to create an area on the show floor. You know, we have 15,000 square feet that's dedicated to escape rooms, you know, with just vendors specifically for that. Some of them are spread out amongst the regular floor, but a decent amount of them are in an area called Escape Room City. On top of that, we added a whole seminar series, you know, that for education that's added in.
We're doing demonstrations on the show floor as well for it.
Yeah, we're going to have a stage that's going to have demonstrations throughout the day and the week, obviously. We're going to have some of these exhibitors are actually running escape rooms directly on the floor, so you're going to be able to, you know, test them out. You know, you can go in them. Some of them are free and some are charging, so there, you know, there'll be various ways of doing it. But
well, that sounds really cool. So you're saying that if you got like a group of people together, you could go on to Escape Room City and maybe spend 5, 10, however many minutes inside one trying to figure it out?
Well, generally, no, they don't use, I don't know what they're going to set for times. An average escape room, the way they work is they're generally set for an hour where you go in and you try to solve puzzles. My guess is, you know, I don't know how they're going to be ran on the floor. I'm sure they're going to do a shortened version of that because there's no way they want to have people, you know, trapped in the rooms for an hour. It's probably going to be a shortened version. The standard room, you know, throughout the North America is generally an hour, you know, game. So I'm my guess is they're probably going to do a decreased version of that on the floor, you know, to give you the opportunity. But as Jen was saying, we have a group of escape rooms locally in the area that we compiled a list that's on the website that you can physically go on our site, click through to their websites, and book a time. So, you know, if you have an hour or two in the evening that you're not doing anything, you know, one of our events or something, and you're interested in seeing how other escape rooms operate, you know, you can book them and go and actually experience them.
They've reserved the time slots for our attendees, so they're there. So people can go on the website and book them.
How late will they be running?
That's a good question. I don't think we really know the hours. Like, we'll have to check that with them. I mean, most of them, you know, on weekends and stuff like that, some of them are open until 1 in the morning.
I think it really depends how filled they are. I think if the more people want to play, I'm sure they'll stay open for them. That's typically how it usually works.
Yeah, and it'll probably be based from, you know, establishment, you know, which each one of them will probably have different hours. But everything should be listed on their websites. They actually blocked off a lot of those days for just for Transworld to book through. So, you know, you're going to be able to go on there and, you know, I mean, obviously, if you want to do it and you kind of have an idea of your schedule, you should probably try to throw in bookings sooner than later because we had a pretty decent amount of people that did this at Legendary Haunt Tour.
So, like, some of the days, Badger, I'm just looking right now, some start it during the day. They end at 9:30 at night. One of them I'm looking at. So one ends earlier But then again, one on a Friday night ends at 11:30 p.m. The last booking's 10:30 to 11:30. So they all have different times depending on the days and times you pick. And as I'm looking right now, some are already filling.
Wow. Very nice.
So, yeah. They've starting on Tuesday, and then they're ending for Sunday night for those people. Well, some of them are. And some's ending Saturday, some's ending Sunday. But, yeah, they're filling up. So if people are interested, they should definitely do it soon.
So for people who are coming in early, and a lot of people do come in early to St. Louis for Trans World.
Yeah, because... you can come in on Tuesday, yeah, and start playing the escape room games. Absolutely.
Are there any, quote-unquote, official Trans World activities going on Tuesday or Wednesday other than, you know, coming in and playing in the escape rooms?
Yes. We actually have – the speed seminars have always traditionally been on Wednesday. They used to start in the morning. We're actually having the speed seminar start at 1 o'clock, so people come later, and then we're doing a mixer. We've rented out the over-under bar, which is just like a block or two from the center, from 6 to 11 p.m., so there's kind of a pre-party. So if you are in town and you kind of want to get together with everyone and hang out, Wednesday night we have something going on. It's $35 a person. We provide you guys with a lot of food and, you know, teas and in drinks and sodas and stuff like that, and then there'll be a cash bar. But we do have a light kind of heavy appetizers, I would say, available for people on Wednesday night at the Over Under, which is new. So if you take the speed seminars, that party's included. If you don't want to take the speed seminars and you just want to come for the party, then that Wednesday night party's available.
Oh, very nice. Where is that located?
That's the Over Under bar.
It's literally like
a block.
From the center. It's right on, you know, down the street on the left.
I remember there used to be a bowling alley that there used to be kind of a
This is even before
that. That's the opposite direction. It's closer than that, actually, to the center.
Yeah. Okay, very, very cool. And, of course, everything gets started on Thursdays, correct?
Yes, the opening night party this year on Thursday. We have three sponsors for that. We have Ken Donay, who's been kind enough to be a sponsor over the years since almost the inception of this party at Trans World. We also have the Haunted Attraction Association, which is their second year to sponsor it, and Ticket Leap has signed up as the third sponsor. And because it's going to be St. Patrick's Day, it's going to be themed out for St. Patrick's Day. We're going to do a whole thing.
Oh,
you know, so I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I can just see Tater in his leprechaun outfit.
You just send Tater in an escape room first, and he, like other haunters, will be trapped there all week.
Yeah.
Especially if you leave beer in there.
Yeah. It's funny. And I also know that Larry's doing some things as well on Wednesday night, which will be new for the show. And I know that Larry's going to be on, you know, in the next few weeks, and he could probably talk about that as well. But that is also new to Wednesday night.
Oh, we're going to have Larry Kirchner on very, very soon, so we'll be sure and make sure to touch on those topics as well. Before we get into the real meat of what's going on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we need to take a really quick break, pay some bills, and provide our listeners with some very important information. We're talking Trans World 2016, March 17th through the 20th at the America Center in St. Louis, M.O., We'll be back in just a quick moment to the Roundtable of Terror.
You know how it is. You're alone. There's the internet. You start clicking. You're looking for something necrotic. Some things, you see, your grandmother wouldn't call necrotic. Click on some other sites. Whoa, that is just way, way too necrotic. But then you find Necrotic Creations. Necrotic. You may not know what necrotic means, but you know it when you see it. Get Necrotic. Necrotic Creations. Shop anytime at necroticcreations.com. Shop in person at the Transworld Halloween and Haunted Attraction Show in St. Louis, booth 922.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, talking Transworld with Jen Braverman, Rich Bianco, three out of the four co-hosts. Jerry, unfortunately, is not with us tonight. And one thing that a lot of people know when they go to Transworld, they know when the parties are, they know when the City Museum tour is, they know when the Tour of the Darkness is. But, Jen, I think you were telling us off-air that some of the normal events have changed times and or dates. Is that correct?
Yes, there's a few events that are done by the Haunted Attraction Association that people go to, you know, annually, and they've changed, they've flip-flopped a little bit of their days and times. So we may want to point that out. So on Friday, the Haunted Attraction State of the Union Seminar will be 4 to 5 p.m. if people want to join for that. That also qualifies as a credit toward the Chaos Certification Program. And then the Oscars that have typically been on Saturday night will follow that at 5 o'clock p.m. to 7:30. So that is a change, because that used to be the auction. And the auction now is on Saturday. Okay. So they've changed things around a little bit. And that auction, the doors open for that at 4:30 on Saturday. So we definitely want people, you know, to make a note of that in their calendar, that things have changed around a bit.
What about some of the things that we've all grown to really enjoy, like City Museum or some of the other tours? Have any of those changed?
The City Museum is still sponsored by Gantam. That will still be at 7:30 on Friday night. So that is all set in place, as well as you have, that's on Friday night. I'm sorry if I didn't say that. And Saturday night, we've now added Six Flags. There's a whole behind-the-scenes tour for that. There's all the details on the website at haashow.com. The tickets are limited for the Six Flags event, so it is first come, first serve. The park will be only hosting our event that night.
What are they doing as far as behind the scenes? Is behind the scenes their Halloween show, or what are people going to see there?
Well, okay, just so that you guys know a little bit of the history, this Six Flags is one of the original three. So that's a really big deal too. So this Six Flags is a little bit almost kind of old school, which is really interesting. We're going to be serving a dinner there. And then what we're going to have is there'll be rides open like Mr. Freeze, Shamu, the Justice League for the Battle for Metropolis. They're going to do Lights On at the Slaughterhouse and Void Vision, which is their Black Maze. They're going to do a huge Q&A panel discussion with a bunch of the Six Flags parks in the area. And that's pretty much the whole evening. And I think it's going to be a great time, you know, for people. Be a lot of fun. Hopefully the weather, you know, cooperates.
What are the hours going to be for that?
So the buses are going to leave the center at 6:15. And then they'll come back from Six Flags at 10:30. The buses will reload at 10:30 and probably be back to the center 11 a little bit after.
Wow, that's a full evening right there.
So dinner's from 7 to 8. And then I did that already. And then from 8 to 9:30, we're going to do the rides, and then we're going to finish up with the Q&A, because I'm worried. I want to do the rides first, because the later it gets at night, obviously the colder it gets. So that's why we're going to end with the Q&A at 9:30.
We've had a couple of cool trans worlds of late. So yeah, I could see riding a couple of roller coasters when it's 35 might be a little. A little bit put-offing, but...
And they may open more rides. It really depends on the weather.
Yeah, maybe the weather last year, you never know.
You never know. Sometimes it's in the 60s and really nice. Other times it's not, so it's kind of hard to know. At least it's a little later this year. You know, some years it's earlier, but, it's mid-September. It's mid-March, so who knows.
And is there any other major events going on? Because every time we go, there always seems to be some national sporting event or something going on, making it difficult to get hotels or difficult to get dining options and things, because everything's just so packed with people coming into town.
Yeah, I mean, it is always a very popular time of year, and I'm sure there's some sort of basketball that's in town. So, and that's why I think it's important, to get the hotel rooms, or if there are certain restaurants that people have as a favorite, to be able to book that. So, the city is always busy at that time of year. March is a popular time in St. Louis.
So March feels like a couple weeks off. What are some of the big deadlines coming up that, anybody interested in registration or hotels should really be aware of?
Hotels, let me just look, because I want to be clear on exactly what the cutoff dates are. The hotel dates are, oh, wow. Okay, there's just a lot of sold out already.
We told you.
So the Marriott is sold out on the 19th to 20th. The deal with hotels is get them now. Get your hotel now. we get it. We get cutoffs extended, but get your rooms now. I wouldn't wait. So if you know you're going to Transworld, or you think you may even be going to Transworld, book your hotel room.
So I had a question. I'm going to go back to the beginning of the questions. We were talking about all the extra vendors. I mean, 65 new vendors is a huge number. Along with the escape rooms that are going on, how much floor space have you added to the show this year?
We've added probably about, I would say, like 22,000.
Yeah, so it's
about
20,000 to 30,000.
Yeah, 20,000 to 30,000 square feet, which is a lot.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most haunts aren't
there. In another area as well, you know, if we continue.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, that's where we are, but we still have, you know, 10 weeks out, and, you know, we can always add more space. I do have extra halls on hold in case we need to go into them.
Wow.
It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I mean, I haven't been as often as Badger. I've been twice, and last time was 2 years ago, and I know it was huge then, and now it's going to be even bigger. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. Last year, I thought it wasn't going to get any bigger, and this year, I can't believe how big it's gotten.
So it looks like we've covered about everything. You got 65 new vendors. You've got Escape Room City. You've got some new parties, some new social events. We touched a little bit on the speed seminars coming in on Wednesday. What about regular business tracks and other tracks that you've got going on?
We have a tremendous amount of seminars going on this year. We've actually even added two to Sunday.
Really?
Just to see how Sunday would play. Yeah, I mean, because you still have a lot of people in town Sunday. So we've gotten some requests. People have said sometimes they just, you know, need the weekend. And, you know, could we put a little bit on Sunday? So we thought we'd try and see if they're popular or not. We only added two, but, you know, we'll see what everyone's thoughts are on them. So I definitely think, you know, we've got exhibitor seminars going on where it's free to attendees, where exhibitors, you know, can kind of speak and go into further detail about their product. We have show floor demos, which we've always had. We've got the free early bird seminars, and then we have full tracks on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So, I mean, it's pretty packed this year.
It sounds like it. And as we come to expect with Transworld, it's always, you know, let's face it, it's the biggest event of the year as far as haunted houses and haunters and everything else. And it looks like you're going to be even bigger this year. Any final questions for Jen and Rich, guys?
It's been pretty thorough on my end.
Storm, anything?
No, I think it's pretty much, you know, squaring out there. And I mean, you know, how can people stay up on the news and everything that keeps being added and all the special announcements leading up to the show?
You know, we put a lot of stuff on our Facebook pages. So if you're not, you know, one of our Facebook friends, definitely, you know, sign up for that. You know, keep checking back on the website. We do email blasts as well. So if you've been, you know, part of the show in the past and you've signed up as a buyer, you're going to be getting those email blasts. But, you know, things are definitely changing every week. New things are being announced. So, and the website is pretty comprehensive. So if you, you know, definitely check that out at www.haashow.com. Our phone numbers, both Rich and mine, are on there. So if people are looking at the website and they have questions, they can always feel free to pick up the phone and call us directly, and we can answer any questions they may have regarding the show.
Sounds like a plan. Of course, again, that's haashow.com. And, of course, Jennifer and Rich, we are honored and thankful that you allow the Big Scary Show an opportunity to come down and be a part of each and every Transworld, hopefully for the next many, many years. So once again, for all things Transworld, you can go to haashow.com, follow them on Facebook. Of course, whenever we get the latest stuff, we'll have it here right on the Big Scary Show, Big Scary News, or as soon as we can get it up there. If there are no final questions, I want to thank our guests, Jen Braverman and Rich Bianco up in Chicago. Remember, March 17th through the 20th is not that far away. If you haven't made your travel plans, if you don't have a hotel or someone's couch you can crash on, you better start making some phone calls and calling in some favors now. I want to thank our guests for talking Transworld 2016. We'll be there. Hope you'll be there. And, of course, I want to thank our hosts, including Storm.
Secretly, I've been trapped in an escape room for 2 years.
The unknown scare actor.
I'm the one who designed the escape room.
Jerry Vane, unfortunately, not with us tonight, visiting some friends and family in lieu of a memorial service he's going to. We send our positive waves and thoughts to him. My name is Drew Badger. Just wanted to take a second and say rest in peace to Angus Scrimm. I had the pleasure of having dinner with him a few years ago. A true gentleman, one of the last of the old Hollywood horror actors. You will be sorely missed. Once again, this here is the Round Table of Terror here on the Big Scary Show, and we'll be right back. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time to see whether or not somebody's been listening closely to the last show, because it's time for the January Gruesome Giveaway. Hopefully someone's going to win, sponsored by Screamline Studios. Now, if you were listening to the last show, you know we asked a simple question. The answer was in the show. We had bunches of people sending them in. Maybe it's this guy right here. We picked a random entrant and have him on the phone now. Random entrant, what is your name? Where do you live?
It's Kevin Hopkins. I'm from Cumming, Georgia.
Cumming, Georgia. That's right outside of Atlanta, correct?
Yeah, we're about 45 minutes north of the city.
Excellent. I know Atlanta's got a couple of haunts down there, so excellent. Well, Kevin, let's see if you know what we're talking about here as far as a gruesome giveaway. Got to ask you a couple of legal questions, first of all. First question, have we contacted you in any way, shape, or form other than to tell you when to call in?
No,
yeah. Even the dog's excited, I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
Question number two, have you tried to bribe us in any way, send us money or anything like that, late Christmas gifts, in order to increase your chances of winning?
No, I haven't.
And that's a shame. Anyway, no, we won't talk about that. So, Kevin Hopkins of Cumming, GA, I believe the January Gruesome Giveaway question was, basically, when did Veister finally meet Sven Gulli?
I believe he said he met him in October at a haunt in 2009.
That is absolutely correct. 2009, October 2009, he did mention that in his great segment called Sven Gulli and Me. Kevin Hopkins, congratulations. You are the winner for the month of January for the Gruesome Giveaway sponsored by Screamline Studios.
Awesome. Oh, and let me tell you, Screamline Studios is always one of my first stops at Transworld. They have some great products.
Well, that leads me into a cool segue, because I was just going to ask you if you owned a haunt, worked for a haunt, or otherwise, and apparently you do because you go to Transworld.
Yeah, I was involved with Hayes Haunt here in Cumming, Georgia. Roger Hayes, the founder of that, had his book. I'll put a plug out for Home Haunting for Mere Mortals. Great how-to book for those in home haunts. But he's moved out west as of last year, and we sold our crops to another haunt. And I'm currently working with the Dark Rose Haunted Corn Maze in Dawsonville, Georgia now. So, kind of transition from a home haunt to a pro haunt, but it's been a fun ride.
Well, fantastic. I wish you nothing but success on that. So, Kevin, if you'll hold on the line for just a second so I can get some shipping information so we can ship out that prize to you. Once again, congratulations to Kevin Hopkins of Cumming, Georgia. You are the January winner of the Gruesome Giveaway here on The Big Scary Show. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, so, some of the big science news this week is that they found a new planet. Well, they didn't actually find it. They just have a feeling it's out there based off of how gravity moves and, comets or pieces of debris out in space are moving around, you know, in a big cluster, they think, hey, look, there's got to be something there pulling it together. But this Planet X, as, you know, is referred to back in science fiction, it's not where you expect it to be. It is out beyond where Pluto is, out towards the Oort cloud, which is the outer reaches of the galaxy. And this sucker is probably the size of Neptune. No small, tiny planetoid, or, you know, we might not call it a planet if we ever find it. It's bigger than Earth. So, out there, the farthest reaches of the galaxy, some mystery planet we can't even see, where the sun is probably a speck in the sky. This is gotta be a nightmare planet. A Planet Halloween. Yes, imagine something out there that barely sees the sun and no one else even knows it's out there. If ever there was a Halloween planet, that is it. The nightmares that could exist on that one. You know, how the geography would be, that if there were to be any creatures on there, just everything out of the worst horror movie you could imagine. Yes, this mysterious Planet X has to be the solar system's Halloween planet. And how exciting is that for us? Planet Halloween. So, yeah, take a break from building the haunt, get out there with your telescopes, and look for Planet X. Because if we can find it, we can name it Planet Halloween. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown, reminding you to send all hate mail to storm@bigscaryshow.com.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Store.
Solitude Black. Solitude. I Vampire. I'm the Big Scary Show.
Big Scary Show.
Greetings, Frighteners! Here we are, in the dead of winter, and depending where you are at in the country, you're either very cold, buried in snow, or very warm and underwater. Go figure. This time around on the Haunted Vista, we're continuing our look into the classic monsters, universal or otherwise, and we're getting wrapped up in, yes, I said it, it was there, I had to use it, in the legacy of the Mummy films. Egyptian culture and mythology is loaded with all sorts of things to get the imagination fired up, be it curses, ancient wrathful gods, mysteries in the hieroglyphics, or, as we all well know, those left behind to protect the ancient treasures of the pharaohs, or bound in wrappings and eternal sleep for daring to stir the wrath of the vengeful deities. And that brings us first off to Universal Studios circa 1932. Inspired by the opening of Tutankhamun's tomb in 1922 and the novella Curse of the Pharaohs, producer Carl Laemmle Jr. commissioned story editor Richard Schreier to find a literary novel to form a basis for an Egyptian-themed horror film, just as Dracula and Frankenstein informed their previous hits. Schreier found none, although the project's final plot bears a strong resemblance to a short story by Arthur Conan Doyle, of Sherlock Holmes fame, entitled The Ring of Thoth. For the record, the Scroll of Thoth is a fictional artifact, though likely based on the Book of the Dead. Thoth, the Egyptian god of knowledge, is said to be the inventor of hieroglyphics and the author of the Book of the Dead. The film, simply titled The Mummy, cast Boris Karloff as Imhotep and Zita Joan, who believed in reincarnation, by the way, as Ankh-es-An-Amon, after the only wife of Pharaoh Tutankhamun. When filming commenced, Karloff's first day was spent shooting the mummy's awakening from his sarcophagus. Legendary makeup artist Jack Pierce had studied photos of Set I's mummy to design Imhotep. However, Karloff looked nothing like the mummy of Set I in the film, instead bearing a resemblance to the mummy of Ramses III. Pierce began transforming Karloff at 1 a.m., applying cotton, collodion, and spirit gum to his face, clay to his hair, and wrapping him in linen bandages treated with acid and burnt in an oven, finishing the job at 7 p.m. Karloff finished his scenes at 2 a.m., and another 2 hours were spent removing the makeup. Karloff found the removal of gum from his face painful, and overall found the day, and I quote, "the most trying ordeal I had ever endured." Although the images of Karloff wrapped in bandages are the most iconic taken from the film, Karloff only appears on screen in this makeup for a few minutes. The rest of the film sees him wearing less elaborate makeup. The movie, a dark romance which borrows heavily from the prior year's Dracula. Hey, watch him back-to-back if you need proof. Heck, even Edward Van Sloan, who played Van Helsing in Dracula, gives a similar performance here as a similar character. Regardless, with the very intelligent, thoughtful script highlighting the story of finding lost love through the ages, and with Karloff's restrained menace stealing the show, this ranks as one of the most sophisticated and successful of the Universal horrors. Bear in mind that there is no evidence to suggest that ancient Egyptians believed in or considered the possibility of reanimated mummies. Mummification was a sacred process meant to prepare a dead body to carry the soul through the afterlife, not for being reincarnated and living again on Earth. While it is possible that some individuals were mummified by being buried alive, it is unlikely that the ancient Egyptians would think resurrection was possible because they were very aware of the fact that all the necessary organs had been removed and the body would be of little use on Earth anymore. Conspirators were caught in a plot to assassinate Pharaoh Ramses III around 1151 BC. Papyrus trial transcripts reveal the method of execution, which may have been being buried alive. Although not common practice, it is possible that a fictional priest such as Imhotep would be punished this way. The film was a success at the box office, particularly in England, and everything else that followed, 1940's The Mummy's Hand, The Mummy's Tomb from 1942, The Mummy's Ghost, and The Mummy's Curse, both from 1944, follow the exploits of a mummy named Karras and are pretty much interchangeable plot-wise, with the mummy character being played by Tom Tyler in Mummy's Hand, while recycled footage from the original film is used in the telling of Karras' origins. Karloff is clearly visible in several of these recycled scenes, but he is not credited. And then Lon Chaney Jr. filled the bandages in all the movies that followed. Incidentally, Chaney hated the role, complaining of all the grueling makeup he had to endure, but I guess a paycheck is a paycheck. This is especially ironic since he made an appearance as the Mummy, also as the Hunchback of Notre Dame and the Wolfman, in the Route 66 1962 Halloween episode Lizard's Leg and Owlet's Wing. Another piece of trivia here. Chaney's appearance in The Mummy's Ghost was the basis for Aurora's mummy model kit back in the 60s and James Bama's cover art for it, but I'm getting ahead of myself here. For all their flaws, Universal Mummy Films had quite a display of talent on hand, including George Zucco, John Carradine, Evelyn Ankers, and even Virginia Christie, who would later become Miss Olsen of the Folgers coffee commercials in the 1970s. Yes, I know, I'm old. And, of course, the series was lampooned by Budd and Lew in 1955's Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy, which was, incidentally, the last of their appearances together and one of the strongest entries in their Meet the Monsters series. As for myself, of all the Universal horrors, aside from the original, these are the ones I watch the least. Don't misconstrue me, they're creepy fun, but, as I said earlier, the plots are pretty samey, and the timeline for these films would have the final film occurring in 1995 or so, and I could never get past the fact that the mummy moves slower than an arthritic sloth, get a pair of Nikes and run circles around his butt. In the late 1950s, British Hammer Film Production Company took up the mummy theme, beginning with The Mummy in 1959, which, rather than being a remake of the 1932 Karloff film, is actually based on Universal's Mummy's Hand and Mummy's Tomb. Hammer's follow-ups, The Curse of the Mummy's Tomb from 1964, The Mummy Shroud from 1966, and Blood from the Mummy's Tomb from 1971, are unrelated to the earlier film or to each other. Of this set, the 1959 film is the best, presenting Christopher Lee as a formidable monster, strong and intimidating, with Peter Cushing's remarkable acting talent shining through as well. This is one mummy that will give you problems, and he could move at a good clip, too. In the video, Flesh and Blood, The Hammer Heritage of Horror, Peter Cushing claims that he suggested the scene in which he drives a spear through the mummy. He was inspired by the pre-release poster, which shows the mummy with a shaft of light passing through it. As for the rest, the quality goes downhill from there, I'm afraid. Although I have a soft spot for Blood from the Mummy's Tomb, being a bit more thoughtful and relating more to history, reincarnation, and curses. Some neat twists in there, especially at the conclusion. Oh, and by the way, there is no wrapped-up mummy in that film either. After these two series, mummy films pretty well were hit and miss from the 60s on through the late 90s. Things like The Awakening, Dawn of the Mummy, and Orgy of the Dead, to slicker fare like The Pyramid, Trance, and Egyptian Melodies, and even off-the-wall stuff like Bubba Hotep, just did not raise the mummy's profile very much. Truth be told, the mummy had been reduced to that of a second stringer, really. I mean, let's be frank, the general image of the character is one of a slow-moving, wrapped-up corpse, right? Curses, schmurses, as the kids say nowadays, right? Well, when it comes to monster mashes like The Monster Squad, Waxwork, and even dreckier ones like Assignment Terror, he's always in the roll call, so the impact of the character is in our cultural subconsciousness. For a few good examples, Todd McFarlane did a marvelous reworking of the character for his Monster Toys line. The look stays within the accepted traditions, but takes things out a whole darker door, if you get my drift. You can still find them on eBay and Amazon if you're so inclined. Heck, even metal bands will use the Egyptian mummy theme in their work if it suits them. Look no further than to Iron Maiden and their 1984 album Power Slave with the accompanying tour, which they reprised in 2008 on their Caught Somewhere in Time trek, full of hieroglyphics, sarcophagi, and mummies, mummies, mummies. Bringing things forward is Stephen Sommers' trilogy that started in 1999, but this series has a checkered history and well worth looking into. In 1992, producers James Jax and Sean Daniel decided to update the original mummy films for the 90s. Universal Studios gave them the go-ahead, but only if they kept the budget around $10 million. Jax remembered that the studio essentially wanted a low-budget horror franchise. In response, Jax and Daniels recruited horror filmmaker-writer Clive Barker on board. Barker's vision for the film was a violent one, with the story revolving around the head of a contemporary art museum who turns out to be a cultist trying to reanimate mummies. Jacks recalled that Barker's take was a dark, sexual, and filled with mysticism one, and that it would have been a great low-budget movie. But after several meetings, Barker and Universal lost interest and parted company. George A. Romero was brought in next with a vision of a zombie-style horror movie a la Night of the Living Dead, but which also relied heavily upon elements of magic and tragic romance and ambivalence of identity. Romero completed a draft in October of 94, co-written with Alan Ornsby and John Sayles. The script was again considered too dark and violent by Jacks at the studio, who wanted a more accessible picture. Compounding the issue was the fact that Romero was unable to extricate himself from a contract for a different film project he had in negotiation at the time with MGM. And so his involvement with the film was severed, and the development of an entirely new script was commissioned to other writers. Joe Dante was the next choice, increasing the budget for his idea of Daniel Day-Lewis as a brooding mummy. This version, co-written by John Sayles, was set in contemporary times and focused on reincarnation with elements of a love story. It came close to being made with some elements, like the flesh-eating scarabs, making it to the final product. However, at that point, the studio wanted a film with a budget of $15 million and rejected Dante's version. Soon after, Mick Garris was attached to the direct but eventually left the project, and the late Wes Craven was offered the film but turned it down. Then, Stephen Sommers called Jackson Daniels in 1977 with his vision of the mummy as a kind of Indiana Jones or Jason and the Argonauts, with the mummy as the creature giving the hero a hard time. Sommers had seen the original film when he was 8 and wanted to recreate the things he liked about it on a bigger scale. He had wanted to make a mummy film since 1983, but other writers and directors were always attached. Finally, Sommers received his windows of opportunity and pitched his idea to Universal with an 18-page treatment. At the time, Universal's management had changed in response to the box office failure of Babe, Pig in the City, and the loss led to the studio to want to revisit its successful franchises from the 1930s. Universal liked this idea so much that they approved the concept and increased the budget from $15 to $80 million. He must have pitched well. The 1999 Universal film The Mummy also suggested as a remake of the 1930 movie, and may be considered as such in that its titular character is Imhotep, resurrected from the dead by the Book of the Dead and out to find the present-day embodiment of the soul of his beloved Anaxunamun, and features Egyptians named Ardeth Bey, in this case a guard of the city, and of Imhotep's tomb, but develops there from a different storyline, in common with the most postmodern remakes of classic horror and science fiction films. It spawned a couple of sequels, and even a prequel series in The Scorpion King, and also a short-lived animated series simply titled The Mummy, which ran from 2001 to 2003. For what they are, in my honest opinion, the films are fun, though I prefer the second film of the trilogy, The Mummy Returns. The first I found a bit on the dry side, and the third just left me cold. I thought they were a bit too tongue-in-cheek to be taken seriously, but some of the visuals were stunning, and it updated the concept nicely, but I missed the gothic touches of yesteryear. Bringing things up to date, Universal has announced another forthcoming remake of the film, which is tentatively scheduled for a March 2017 release. The new film will be directed by Alex Kurtzman, who, in October 2015, hinted that the new reboot could possibly feature a female lead as the mummy character, which would be the first for the film franchise. Universal's The Mummy is planned as the first film in a series of interconnected monster films, as Universal plans to build a franchise out on their classic characters, which has most people like me quivering in our boots, but we'll see what happens. Mummies, tombs, and or curses scenarios in commercial haunts are always effective, and I've seen my fair share. And they're still quite prevalent, and I've always felt these sections were some of the best creativity always happened. And it tickles me when some of the biggest, baddest dudes in line at the event who claim they aren't scared of nothing, or even those brazos who claim the mummy is a wimp, tend to quiver in terror when confronted face to face by one. Where's the laughter and bravado now, On a serious note, whether it be nostalgia or otherwise, the character is still very popular in haunts of all sorts, and still brings a delighted chill from audiences time after time. Could The Mummy work in film today? I say that's affirmative, Houston. If it's done as a period piece, has a great script, and you take from the best elements from the Universal, Hammer, and Stephen Sommers movies. Go on and piece it together yourself. It's not hard, and a truly masterful and genuinely frightening film could be done if placed in the right hands. For my two cents, combine the gothic atmosphere and characterization of the Karloff original, combine it with the lush sets and pacing of the Hammer films, and add in the best action and effects of the Summers trilogy, and you're looking at something very special indeed. Until then, well, I can dream, can't I? And there's always DVD and Blu-ray, but somehow, even if Universal manages to botch up their proposed reboot of the classic monsters, and I hope they don't, but my gut tells me otherwise, someone somewhere down the line will get the itch and try their hand in it, and maybe, just maybe, they'll get it right. When next we pick up on this thread, we'll look into the last of the true classics of the Universal canon, that being the Gillman himself, the Creature from the Black Lagoon, and the unique trilogy of films that have spawned legions of imitations, but never any equals. And surprisingly enough, to this day, never a remake either. But next time around on the Vista, we'll get into that piece that I promised a while back on the Aurora model kits and their legacy on the world of monster models, and how their influence is coming full circle here in 2016. As ever, I welcome comments and suggestions. Feel free to drop me a line at ericbssh@gmail.com or look me up on Facebook. I check both daily and welcome all correspondence. Keep an eye also on my Blogspot page, the Veister's Halloween Haunt Journal. I've not updated it in a while, but there will be some things coming down the pike. And while we're on that note, it's no secret that I used to be on another podcast a few years ago. The name escapes me for some odd reason, but oh well. Anyway, on both that show and my blog, I reviewed a myriad of haunted attractions across the country. To be fair, some of them are a bit dated now, so, with that in mind, in the coming months I will be updating and revisiting a good portion of them. Not all, and not every month, but listeners can expect at least 3 or 4 months dedicated to looks in some of the best haunted houses from across the country in 2016, and possibly some interviews with some of the creators and madmen behind the scenes. I'll be starting this up more than likely in March, so be ready. And with all that in mind, until next time, always remember to send Gulli and brush your fangs, comb your face, drink your milk before it clots, bite Mama goodnight, and always remember that I mummified and buried alive Ivanka Trump because she's an annoying little turd. See you soon.
CreepyCollection.com, the most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com for all your gore and more.
Where do some phobias come from? Is it fear of the known or fear of the unknown? Some fears are passed down from generation to generation, based on nothing but legends and lore. Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. Wrapping up my brief summarization of the origins of Halloween, we've spoken about different things, how it coincides or how Christian holidays coincide with the Celtic and pagan holidays. So to wrap it up, in truth, it is difficult to make out what belongs to the Christian holiday of All Saints Day and what derives from a properly pagan tradition. Everything is commingled, as if the popular mentality refused, as against nature, the border between the profane and the sacred, the real and the imaginary, the licit and the illicit, tears and laughter, and finally life and death. It is generally believed in all rural areas that the night of Halloween belongs to the dead. We know, because some people have witnessed it, that the dead emerge from their graves to go pray in the churches. We also know that all souls, coming from purgatory and even hell, fraternally join together in suffering and misfortune, form processions and parades along the ways and byways in the direction of those places where they once lived in order to demand prayers or offerings from those who survive. There is a Brittany proverb stating that during the night, there are more souls in each house than there are grains of sand on the shores of the sea. And it is not only in the Armorican Brittany, the Celtophone region, where the beliefs may be encountered. The region of the Vosges, once inhabited by the Celts, is rich in the tradition of this kind. We find that the person who goes out on the night before All Saints' Day cannot put one foot before the other without walking on the dead, as they are ranked so closely together. At times, people have seen an iron ball rolling down a sloping path. It is a soul in torment, we are assured. And one adds, woe to the passerby who encounters it, if he does not understand its mute appeal, for he will be incapable of returning home without fear and a great deal of hardship, and especially without smelling an atrocious odor of something burning. It will be noted that these popular beliefs confuse everything: All Saints' Day, the Day of the Dead, and Halloween itself. We find here the importance that characterizes the holiday of Samhain, to wit, the symbolic 3 days and three nights during which the notion of duration, giving limit and rhythm by the succession of light and shadow, is abolished. Some of that kind of went over my head, but I think we get the gist of it. The Catholic Church has sought basically to purify this celebration of All Saints' Day by striving to eliminate its more alarming elements, even by diabolicizing them and therefore rejecting them as superstitious and demonic deceits. But it has hardly succeeded. We see this with some of the churches who do the, what is it, I don't remember the name of it, but they do something that's like the anti-Halloween Hallelujah House and things like that to kind of, you know, downplay the fun of anything, if anything, that Halloween can be. These troubling elements, operating a synthesis between the different components of Samhain, are naturally found in the beliefs and popular manifestations of every country, sometimes inspiring fear and even terror, but confirming in every detail that Samhain is purely and simply a period favorable for communication between the two worlds. So if you're into the religious aspects, there you go. If you're into the fun aspects, you see why people try to stifle us at times. This has just been a brief summarization, a cliff notes, if you will, of the origins of Halloween. I could go on and on. Most of my information is are excerpts from a book called The Pagan Mysteries of Halloween by Jean Marcal. It's a pretty good read if you want to know more about it. And that's it.
And remember one thing, Honors. Most legend has a basis in fact.
In a world of generic one-size masks.
This mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scared.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest Fears Unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
Alright, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
Oh my god! DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
Ragdolls, Halloween night on the Big Scary Show.
Trick-or-treating time. Jack-o'-lanterns lighting up my way at night. It's gonna be a bumpy ride, so hold on tight. Chop the news to set my darkest dream to life. Wake the monsters, every dark of Frankenstein. Together we're a motherfucking killing machine. Turn the power on, we're gonna wipe it clean. And I don't care about sympathy. my friends are here. The witch bitch still keeps working her broom. Dracula passed out in the living room. Then it just arrived for us to kill our race. Michael Myers threw a palm leather face. Reagan, you and Spidey walks down the stairs. The cops punching in, but we don't care. And I don't care about sympathy. I only want them. The misery quench my doctors with delight. It's ghost night out and we're gonna rock it out alright. Let's go, it's Halloween night. Come on, no living in sight. Let's go, it's Halloween night. Come on, let's give a good fright. Are you fucking ready for the worst Halloween of your life? The clock has struck midnight, so here we go.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.HauntersDigest.com today.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people. Screamline Studios, ScreamlineStudios.com. Necrotic Creations, NecroticCreations.com. HauntPay at HauntPay.com. Von Charon Productions, that's V-O-N-C-H-A-R-O-N Productions, VonCharon.com. Dark Spectre Custom Couture, Creepy Collection, Darkest Fears Unlimited, and Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. We would also like to thank the four hosts, including Storm. Check out his rants and more at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, Actor Trainer and Traveling Actor Troupe. Find out more about Maul at MaulMonsters.com. That's M-A-U-L Monsters.com. The Hauntstrumentalist Jerry Vane. Check out his latest CD, Circus of Nightmares, at JerryVane.com. Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. You can leave us feedback. Feedback at BigScaryShow.com. If you have any news, news at BigScaryShow.com. Check out our Facebook page at Facebook.com/BigScaryShow. And Twitter at TheBigScaryShow, where we just may tweet some info you won't hear anywhere else. You can also search for us on iTunes and Stitcher. To keep up with all the latest news and info, you can always find us at BigScaryShow.com. And thank you for listening. Without you, we are nothing.
Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.